Good morning. It's great to have so many conversations. We're going to just spend some time in the Word, so just going to read from James 3, verse 13 to 18. James 3, verse 13 to 18. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness.
So who is wise? That's the question today. Who is wise? And if you think about all the people you know, who would you say is wise? Who is wise and understanding among you? Can you think of someone? Who is it that comes to your mind? One person that I thought of was John Ridgway. He was on Zoom before COVID was a thing. And he was training people all over the world. He's one of our mission partners. He was training people all over the world because people came to him for wisdom and experience. And I'm sure we'll hear more about his life and legacy at the funeral this coming week on Monday in 8 days' time. Who is wise? Who did you think of? What makes the person wise in your eyes? Was it that they are a lover of wisdom like Aristotle, the philosopher? Were they skilled like Leonardo da Vinci, the inventor? Are they peace-loving like Nelson Mandela, the president? Are they theological like John Calvin, the reformer? Are they charitable like Mother Teresa, the nun? Are they smart like my 3-year-old daughter who outwits me every day? Somehow she convinces me to spoon feed her even though she's 3 and goes to preschool. And this morning she came into my office looking for a piece of paper and she walked out with 4. One of the kids said this morning, "You're rude." And she said, "I'm not rude, I'm Elsa." So she's got it. Today we're looking at Christian wisdom. Christian wisdom's distinct, it's different. And it's known for these 3 things here on the screen. It comes from above. It's received from God. It's not something that you go out and discover in the world. Secondly, character is really important. It's less about your capability and more about your character. You don't need to be the smartest or the most charismatic. Instead, you need to walk with good character. And at the core of that is humility. Humility is a core characteristic of a wise personality. A wise person isn't proud or boastful. They are humble and lowly. So that's Christian wisdom, and you see it's a downward arrow. It is humble. Verse 13 puts it like this. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. This is a little bit like everything else we've read so far in James. We've heard already, if you have faith, show it. We've read, don't just listen to the words of God, do it. Is there a gap between what you hear and what you do? Then fix it. Is there a gap between what you believe and what you show? Then close it. Who is wise and understanding among you? Then show it. Show it by the good deeds done in humility. What's the opposite to Christian wisdom then? What's the opposite to humility? The answer here in the passage is selfish ambition. Selfish ambition is an upwards arrow, but humility is a downwards arrow. So humility and selfish ambition are opposite. So in verse 14 it says, "But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic, dodgy." So this is wisdom in inverted commas, because it's not real wisdom. It's not in line with God's wisdom. It's earthly, it says there, meaning it comes from earth, not from heaven. It's unspiritual. It's cut off from its spiritual source. And it's even demonic, it says, because it bubbles up from below rather than raining down from heaven. So its base, it pushes up from the underworld. It comes from the bottom and it strives up with selfish ambition to make a name for itself. And it claws its way up by dragging everything else down. But James says, if you live that way as a Christian, you deny the truth. That phrase there, deny the truth, is the idea of dragging down the truth. As you claw for the top and you drag down the truth because you're pulling everything down to lift yourself up. So that's the contrast between Christian wisdom and worldly wisdom. It's that worldly wisdom's an upward arrow that drags people down, and Christian wisdom is a downward arrow that builds people up. So if it was a seesaw, then Christian wisdom goes down to the ground, whereas worldly wisdom goes up to the sky. So if you think about your own life, and we ask the question, are you wise? What does your position look like on this seesaw? Are you down near the ground, humbly serving others, or are you rising yourself up and lowering others to get to the top? Or maybe you're somewhere in the middle as some sort of combination of both. There's a lot of ambition on the North Shore, isn't there? There's a lot of ambition around us. There's a lot of ambition in our families and in our schools. There's Christian schools around us, and they convey Christian wisdom from above about humility, but at the same time, values collide with secular wisdom in these schools. And even though there's a lot of good Christian wisdom, secular wisdom really just drives in there, and it can merge in as a contradiction unnoticed, or it can lead to a bit of disagreement in the parent body. Christian wisdom and secular wisdom mix in our schools because they mix in our hearts and they mix in our homes. The ego makes us brave to set big goals for ourselves because we want something grand for ourselves. We feel that we ought to have something big and grand. Competition makes us shoot higher just to keep up with our friends who are richer or more impressive. Family pressure pushes down hard and makes us strive to the top just to prove our self-worth. All these things come from the ego. They start with me. They belong to worldly wisdom. Christian wisdom goes lower to the ground on the seesaw. Away from me and my prestige and my income, it elevates others. C.S. Lewis said it like this, and this is a really insightful comment. It takes a bit just to appreciate or unpack it, but the load or weight or burden of my neighbor's glory should be laid daily on my back, a load so heavy that only humility can carry it, and the backs of the proud will be broken. What's this saying? I love this quote because it's really about humility and the cost of humility, that humility carries a load that's heavy to bear. And it's such a heavy load that the person who's proud will not be able to tolerate it. They can't stand up under it. Humility carries the load. And that's actually where Christian ambition comes in. That's the distinctive of Christian ambition, is that it's ambitious to carry loads. Christian wisdom is not self-centered. It gets up early and goes to bed late because it's rushing around to do many good things, and there's not enough hours in a day to do all the good things we can do with our time. But it's not about me, and it's not about my prestige or my comfort and my benefit. It's actually about others, and it's about serving God. So what load does your daily life carry that only humility can carry? What weight are you lifting that only humility can carry? Do you see how incompatible Christian wisdom is from earthly wisdom? James splits them down the middle, pulls them apart, and says that they're hopelessly incompatible because they're opposites. One goes up and the other one goes down. And those who go down in humility bring peace, but those who rise up in selfish ambition bring disorder. And that's where James goes next. He talks about disorder versus peace. Peace is good. Peace is, it belongs to wisdom. Wisdom from above is peace loving. And so verse 18 says, peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. So that's the goal of heavenly wisdom. It's peace, peacemaking. But the opposite of peace is disorder. And disorder's bad. And verse 16 says, for where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. That's the chaos of wisdom from below. That's the chaos of selfish ambition. And selfish ambition is everywhere. It's all around us. And it's infiltrating our lives. And you see the chaos that comes as a result. I see it in homes when two people in a household are striving for their own benefit and they tally mistakes and they escalate conflicts with the volume of their yelling. People become more aggressive to gain more control to the benefit of self, but they destroy their household and they damage themselves. You see it in the workplace when two colleagues are striving against each other, competing with each other and critiquing the team. They talk to the boss about all the problems that are going on around them that the team are creating and all the while hide the mistakes that they're doing themselves. So in the end, they drag the business down because their goal is to elevate themselves. You see it in politics when two nations in the world are striving for their own benefit and they boast in the greatness of their country and they underwrite the bills for their tanks and missiles. But when they escalate the violence, there's casualties on both sides. So these are examples of the disorder that comes from selfish ambition. But humility is good for everyone. Humility brings peace. I heard the story last week of some kid whose parents didn't want him to do arts at university because they felt there were no jobs on the other side of doing an arts degree. So he studied arts. And one of his good mates in arts was in love with shoe design. So the friend had actually, for his major work, made some basketball shoes, a prototype of some basketball shoes. He loved them. He thought they were amazing. But then when they finished university, neither of them could get a job. And one day he got a phone call saying from a basketball shoemaking company, do you want a job? And of course he wanted the job, but he thought of his friend who'd made the basketball shoes, and he said, I've got just the right person for you, and referred to the other guy who ended up taking the job. So in the end, this bloke, he worked in an internship. He didn't know if he was going to get paid for his first internship, so he asked, do I get paid for this? And it was $10 an hour or something, and so he's happy to get a job. But 5 years later, he got a job in the same company with his friend that his friend organized for him. And then one day, his friend was having a meeting with Michael Jordan, talking about the jewelry that had been designed, and they were looking at shoes together and saying, here's ones that my friend designed, how do you like them? And it was just a celebration of how two friends were working together to help each other along in life. In the end, it was the humility that brought about benefit to all. You know, there was this great mutual benefit. Humility is good because it benefits everyone and it brings peace. And the last point that's going to be made from our passage is about the way of peace, the way that benefits everyone. And James gives 7 dot points about the way of peace. So there's 7 words that we see in the one verse, they're all crammed into one verse about Christian wisdom and the peace that it brings. So verse 17, I'm going to read that out. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. So let's just take one word at a time briefly. Christian wisdom is pure. Pure means innocent. Pure means holy. And it's the inner life of integrity that leads to the outer life. You can't fake this stuff. It comes from within. It's pure and holy. Secondly, heavenly wisdom is peace-loving. Peace-loving means harmonious, and it sucks the oxygen out of conflict. It creates a safe environment for everyone to get along because it's humble. Thirdly, heavenly wisdom is considerate. And considerate's about understanding people, and instead of insisting on your own rights, it empathizes with others because it's humble. Heavenly wisdom is also submissive. And that's an interesting word, isn't it? Submission's become a bad word in our culture because of power imbalance and abuse. But submission is heavenly when it's done the way God intended. It's about voluntary compliance. It's about voluntary compliance. And on the North Shore, we're actually quite a compliant bunch. When you think about our behavior during COVID, we kind of did what we were told broadly on the North Shore, partly because many of us are in leadership and we know how hard it is to get people to do what we're asking, and partly because we know that even if we don't agree with everything, there's something beneficial about being social, and I guess compliance has a place, that we don't do whatever we see fit, unless, of course, power is completely abused and government's harming people, at which point we choose to stand up for injustice, and different people will see different things as varying degrees of injustice, but we'll stand up for injustice. But most of the time, submission to government is about compliance, and that's a good thing, because compliance makes for good order. Submission's a virtue. The ultimate form of submission, of course, is submission to God. When we listen to God's good law and we submit to him. And so that's the most beautiful form of submission, because God's good laws are always good. Heavenly wisdom is also full of mercy. Mercy means helping people in need. And it's merciful because even though I didn't cause the problem, I'm going to step in and suffer loss in order to help. Humility goes out of its way to care for other people at the expense of self, because it lowers myself and it elevates the needs of others. Next, heavenly wisdom is impartial. Impartial means you don't show favoritism and you don't steer away from people that are awkward or hard work, and you don't steer towards people who are powerful and rich and, you know, impressive. It's impartial because you don't associate with people who can give you something in return. You're humble, there for the benefit of others. And the last word, heavenly wisdom, is sincere. This is really a loop back to the first word about being pure, because when you're pure from the inside, you can't, it's not about acting at that point, you're not faking it. And heavenly wisdom's sincere because it's not about acting or pretending. It's genuine. It's pure. So there you have the 7 dot points about the character of Christian wisdom. And under all of it is an attitude of humility. Humility is like it's kind of like the oil that takes the friction out of everything. It's like humility is the thing that holds it all together and makes it work. And Jesus did all of these things. Jesus is the perfect example of the humble, pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, merciful, impartial, and sincere leader. Jesus pushed downwards, even though he was in charge of the world. He came from heaven to earth, pushing downwards. And he became a servant to the point of death on a cross for our salvation. But God raised him upwards. God raised him from the cross into heaven to the name above all names. And that is wisdom. So the wise person is the one who looks most like Jesus Christ. The wise person imitates Jesus and humbles themselves. James says, "Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Humble yourself before the Lord, and he will lift you up." And that's really the flip that takes place. Those who lift themselves become humbled by God. Those who humble themselves, God lifts up. It's a kingdom in reverse where the least are most and the last will be the first. Humble yourself before the Lord and he will lift you up. And this is true in a couple of ways. He will save you from your sin. He will wash away all of that selfish ambition and mistake and present you pure and spotless before him. And that gives you the opportunity to rise up with him, to be with him forever in eternal life. You get to be with him in glory because through humility you came and confessed your sin. But it also means that as you do humble deeds, God looks at that with great pleasure. And he will lift you up. He will glory in your acts of humility as he sees you and rewards you for the good you are doing. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. And the bottom line is that the wise person is the one who looks most like Jesus Christ.